Father, it's in your precious Son's name, Jesus, we come. And oh God, thank you for making us thankful. Lord, just increase. Lord, truly increase. And in that increasing, we must decrease. Lord, thank you again for the humility that only you can bring. We are in awe of your Son. He is just so tremendous, his love, his care, his passion for us. Oh, his determination. And Lord, the grace. Oh, all the grace. We just rejoice. And Lord, we do. We just want to give you the praise. And in that praise continually upon our lips, Lord God, we grow and we grow up into you, Lord God, in all things. And we thank you, Lord, that you have made us sons and you call us sons and you deal with us as sons. And Lord, help us to truly just to continue to honor you. And Lord, your grace again is causing us this day to give you what makes you glad, what gets you your joy. And that is the faith that we're receiving by the word of God. And we come to you with full assurance, believing you today, not wavering. Your word is true. It's all powerful. And by your grace, help us to believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. One of our favorite places, praise be to God. The bride for Isaac. And we thank the Lord, the encouragement that's given through this chapter we see so sweetly by the Holy Ghost. This is us, brothers and sisters. You are that one at the well. You're the one. And I thank God. I know that I'm the one. It wasn't somebody else. It wasn't for anybody else. It was Jesse. Jesse had the appointment, praise God. And the Father knew, I'm going to send that servant. I'm going to send that Holy Ghost out there. And that Jesse's not even going to know what hits him. But I'm going to give my servant everything. I'm giving the Holy Ghost everything of mine to give to him. And oh, what an appointment. And oh, what a joy. And that's the ministering of this to you, brothers and sisters, is, you know, Abraham sent that servant to go get a wife for his son. He didn't send his son to go get her. He sent a servant to go get her. And that's how the Lord's done that right now. He sent the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. It said that he had to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus says, if I don't go, I won't be able to send him. And that comforter, the Holy Ghost, the one that would lead us and guide us into all truth. And so there again in this wondrous chapter, we have that wonderful romantic truth. It's not just a story. It's the truth. It's the mystery that was hidden, that this is us. And so wonderful that this servant was sent. And it wasn't that the servant was sent to the world to go find a wife for his son Isaac. That wonderful servant was sent back to Abraham's people, the family of God. The wife for his son was going to come out of the family of God, come out of that wonderful people that were Abraham's people. Now, this is just like us today. That wonderful Holy Ghost has been sent to find the bride for Jesus. And he didn't come to the world. No. He came to the family of God, to the people of the Lord. And here we are. And I thank God we're sitting there at the well. And we received that proposal. That's what Paul's gospel does to your life. That's why I tell you, if you're not thankful and you're not just beside yourself about what is being given to you in Paul's gospel, you're not sitting at the well. You might have been sitting in your house and you overheard it. And you maybe know something about it. But if you're not overjoyed with this, and it hasn't hit you like a freight train, that this truly is you, my heart goes out to you because you've been sitting around here, and what are you doing with it? What are you doing? We don't go through the motions. This is it. And I thank God, and this is, it's so rare, and I'm not trying to make you feel special. It's just, it's special. It's it. It's the purpose of all the ages. Praise God. The manifestation of the sons of God, the apocalypse, the unveiling of his wife. This is it. Amen. And you have this gospel. You're hearing that right now. You hear that when you come here. Amen. And Lord, help us to move. Amen. And truly, I didn't just overhear it, I heard it to me. It's mine. I'm sitting there just like this precious woman, and I'm receiving this, and I can't believe it. It's too much, but I know it's me. And this wasn't a coincidence. This was perfect. It was exact. It was ordered. That's why, praise be to God, whom he foreknew, them he also predestinated. He predestinated you to hear Paul's gospel. Get ignited in it. Truly, I'm not trying to work it up. It's just what it is. I'm serious. I mean, really, I'm just going to tell you right now, and I can see it so clearly. I remember when I proposed to my wife. She didn't know I was going to propose to her. I took her out to the restaurant and all of that, and I was goofy in love, and I still am. But, you know, I wrote her a song. I hired me a violinist who happened to be her good friend. There we were out to dinner, and we're eating and everything like that, and it's time to propose. And thanks be to God, she said yes, but I'm just sitting there, you know, wouldn't that have been something for me? And I mean, she was overwhelmed. But what happens if she just said there, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, okay, just give me the ring. I got to sit down here and eat my dinner. No, I'm serious. What would that have done to me? I'd been sitting there, what? And it's not that I need the response, but that response should be there. Amen? Where are we? And you can say that I'm not like that, or this isn't my personality. Get you out of it. I don't care about your personality. I don't care if you're not like that. When you're in love, and truly in love, it's called joy. And you're not you anymore. You ever see Thumper? I mean, he was like flying around. It's the truth. Let this truth do that in you. So here we go. And again, this is what's so gorgeous about this. 67 verses in this chapter. It just overwhelms me. 67 verses all about the proposal, all about the well, the meeting at the well, all about this beautiful bridegroom that wants you, all about come, all about this is everything of his is yours. And we got to go now. All of this, that, okay? And one half of one verse, not even a half of a verse, is about the journey. And yet we're always thinking about the journey. Oh, you need to be like this chapter. This chapter needs to work in you and love in you. You need to be about the proposal. It's me. It doesn't matter. I've told you many times it was very sweet, and I'll just tell you this again. There, I prepared a little rental house for Polly to come live with me in after we got married. And I didn't have any furniture. I didn't have any of that. Brother Hill had a storehouse of furniture, and my parents did, and we'll borrow it. I threw everything in there. It looked like you got dizzy walking in that little house. It was crazy. I remember Polly's face when she walked in there. Whoa, this is. But she didn't walk back out and say, I'm not going to live here. You mean I get to live with you? Are you more concerned about the journey? Or are you about your bridegroom? I want you to pray for me because I'm praying for you. Okay, here we go, verse 50. She's been proposed to, all these different wonderful things about the bridegroom, what he wants to take this Rebecca back to and all. And she's got a brother and his name's Laban. And Laban and the family are excited about it. And they're just as shocked as she is. But they know about Abraham. They know about the family. And they do believe this would be good for her. But it's got to be on her. So here we go. Then Laban And Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord and bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink. And he and the man and the men that were with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not." Now see, that wasn't a bad thing that they were requesting, you'd say. That was kind of sweet. "Oh, come on, just let her kind of be with us a little bit. You know, we need to be together in all of this." And, you know, that's called a good and even an acceptable. But this master that was sent, this servant, this was the very perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God's got to move now. Now. "And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Now see, we know that she was already determined to go, but this was about her going now. This was about her not being hindered. This was about her breaking from everything. And that's the sermon today. First love breaks from everything. First love breaks from everything. I will go. It's just that. It's above all things. I will go. That means before other things that you love in life, before your hurts, before your past, before the trophies in your life, before everything, first love breaks from everything. And you have to think here, Rebekah was leaving something, as you can see, was very sweet, very good, a family, to marry a man she'd never met, never seen. But by her hearing and by faith, she knew he was everything. He was everything. He was the only thing. And so quickly, only apprehending him was the meaning of her entire life. Yes, amen. It was the meaning of her entire life. It was her purpose. She left everything. Amen. And it wasn't a long time that it had to occur. It was immediate. She heard that truth. She heard that proposal. She knew it was real. It touched her. And she moved now. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be one of those that have heard this time and time again and have never made the move. And then I've heard people say, "Oh, well, you just got to be in it a long, long time." Let me tell you something. You need to be in it about 2 minutes. And if you let the Holy Ghost really hit your life and make that move in your life, you'll move. And yeah, you go on. And yes, by the grace of God, you remain in first love. This isn't a date. The wife hath made herself ready. When she said, "I will go," when she accepted what was given, she was married at that moment. The moment that you receive this precious bridal message, by the grace of God, you're married at that moment to him. You're married. That's why it's a readied wife. Huh? Know your Bibles. That's the issue with the church at Ephesus. You go back over there to Revelation and you really understand that. It said to the church of Ephesus. And you think about what happened at the church of Ephesus. The Ephesian saints, they were given the whole counsel of God. They believed, praise the Lord, in the bridal truth. They received all of it. They rejoiced in it. Paul left them and he said, hey, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Right there, given in marriage, praise the Lord, what rejoicing. But so many years later, as it was given that wonderful encouragement to that church, complimented them on their faith and all the different things that were going on, but it said, yet I have one thing against thee. You've left your first love. So they had the message of this first love. They had this wonderful encouragement, praise God, of this bridal message. But it said they left the first love. And that word left, it means divorced. They divorced it. They left it. They fell away from it. They weren't ready. Brothers and sisters, just because you're hearing this, and you do need to hear it and be encouraged in it, but where are we in faith? And is it everything to us? Is it the meaning and the purpose of our life? I'll tell you what, this gospel, hallelujah, of the bridal message, I pray this is, that we're like this Rebecca, that this is us, that it's everything, that it is truly the meaning of our life. Rebecca, as we see here, she just laid it all down. All the weights, all the indifference, everything was behind. Whether it was family, whether it was her heritage, whether it was her reputation, whether it was her familiar friends, the bridegroom's love caused all things to grow dim. Thank the Lord. I'm loving it, but I'm out of here. That's exactly what this is. But I thank God in that. My heart's heavy. And I think about different things as the Lord puts it on my heart. And this is a direct sermon, very direct. But there's been brethren, and there are brethren that are letting things keep them away from this truth and this fellowship and this joy of being the bride for the Lamb of God. Excuses of why I won't hear this, or why I don't gather, or why I don't assemble, why I don't go to this church to hear this message when I can come to this church to hear this message. And let me tell you something. God has protected this place. He's been very gracious to us, brothers and sisters. The bridal message abounds here. Yes, it does. It super abounds here. You come in here by the grace of God, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not boasting in ourselves. I'm boasting in the Lord. I know what he's doing. I know what he's given. I know what's poured out here. I see the sheep. I thank God. I rejoice. I am so fed and so supplied by the love of the bridal portion that's in this place. I can't even tell you. But I thank God and I rejoice, but here we are and we have this, and this is what I say. How can you neglect so great salvation? How can we justify and be honest? And I thank God for the ones that have to, really truly, have to be on the internet ministry. And I praise God, but how can I justify forsaking the assembling of myself, of ourselves together? Huh? If I really want to be ready for the rapture. If I really want to be, by the grace of God, in that bridal company. Where are we? And I thank the Lord, and I thank God by his grace, I'm here. Amen. Now, God help us that we would be honest and sincere before the Lord in what he's given. And I have to say this. Why did I really ever attend the meeting in the first place? I want you to think about this. Why did I attend the meeting in the first place? Why did I come here last year? Why did I come here 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago or 50 years ago? Really think about this. Was it really ever the bridal truth why I attended? Amen. Think. I want you to really contemplate this, brothers and sisters. I told you. This word's quick and powerful. This sermon, by the grace of God, it's getting right down to it. Why did I attend in the first place? Did I come here because my family came here? Did I come here because I liked the things that were here? Did I come here because I liked the people that were here at that time? Or I liked the atmosphere that was here at that time? Maybe I liked the pastor that was here at that time. I sure did. Yeah, amen. But then I ask you this. is the reason you don't come here or don't want to come here is because I'm convinced that I'm not welcome here anymore, or I'm not wanted here anymore, or all these different things. But I can assure you without a doubt, if any of these things that's keeping us away from this, if this is true about our lives, what you've just done is you took the crown and you laid it down, and you're standing there and you're holding a palm. And you've been robbed. You have. You've been robbed. And that's it. Once again, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know what this gospel does. And I thank God for the grace of God that is with us, that the Lord has preserved and kept and protected this precious word of his grace in its fullness to come forth from this pulpit. I wish it was everywhere, but brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, not that I'm trying to find it. I'm not trying to find it. I just thank the Lord it's here. But what are we feeding on? What are we hearing? When the Lord has given us this, where are we? This is quick and powerful. And it just lays it there. What's important to you? Well, I'll tell you what's important to you. If this is something that really truly is making you feel uncomfortable or you don't like, you're important to you. You get this and you're thankful to God that he's given you the grace that's placed you in here. And that the grace of God that's with you has fought the good fight of faith to remain and to hear. Not want to drift here and there and all of that. I don't want to do that. Is the word of God real to you? Is this bridal message really, 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 really real to you? Amen. It is, isn't it? Praise God. Now, here we go. I'm very thankful for the pastor that I learned this gospel from. I'm very thankful from the things that I learned from that precious, wonderful pastor. And I learned this from him. I would not beg anybody to come into this place. I would not beg you to come. Oh, no. If it was my begging or my pleading or some other act on my behalf that got you in here, you would miss it. And that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. You would be here for the absolute wrong reason. I remember, and it was very sweet. And she testified of it, Sister Garcia. She's with Jesus now. And I believe she finished with a full joy. Hallelujah. But there was a time in her life that there were things that got in the way. There were things that hurt her and different issues and whatever it was. And she became disgruntled with different things. And that was her excuse. The excuse. And it's not just to leave this meeting. I don't want to say that. But basically depart from hearing. Depart from hearing the bridal message. All right? It's not about this building. It's not about Living Waters Tabernacle. It's about this message that's called the bridal message or Paul's gospel. So she had been offended so much or hurt so much or convinced yourself so much or maybe you already know so much or whatever it is. I don't need to hear that. I don't need to be there. I don't need to be amongst those people any longer. And this is what I'm going to choose. Well, the Lord will allow that, but it's amazing what happens is the word of God's always true. There's a leanness that comes in your soul. It's just going to get lean, going to get weak. You're going to be dull of hearing this, that heartbeat for that passion for the bridal message. Let me tell you something. You're not around it. It goes away. You don't hear it. It'll go away. And it really will. You can basically almost, truly, I have ones that I love so, so much that I grew up with this. It's almost as if they've forgotten it. And that's the truth. Now, what I'm getting at here, brothers and sisters, is the evidence of these things is that, like Sister Garcia testified of, well, then she started to think, well, Brother Hill hadn't even called me. Brother Hill hadn't even come see me. Well, then she got even more upset. She's more angry. But then the Lord started dealing with her. I didn't come here because I needed Brother Hill to tell me to come here.
Do I need my flesh to be stroked to come into this place? Is this why I come here? Or do I come here for the only reason, by the grace of God, I pray any of us come here, is because we love the bridal message. Amen. We love the bridal message. By the grace of God, He put in our hearts, we pant after the bridal message. We can't stay away from the bridal message. And it doesn't matter what anybody says or anybody thinks. Amen. And understand that. I will go. Amen. Amen? All right. Now, I see in this precious word that we have testimony of this in so many different ways. I was thinking about Jonathan. You know, that one that loved David so much. Yep. And you think about Jonathan. He was truly next in line to the throne. If there was ever anybody who really had a reason to hate David or didn't like David or whatever, it really was Jonathan, even more than Saul. You get that, you know. But Jonathan not only got over that. As a matter of fact, he didn't have to, but the Lord delivered him from it if it was ever there. It doesn't say it was or anything of that nature. But I'm sure he was tempted by that in some respects. But love was so greater than that. He loved David. And see, what happened with Jonathan, he loved the word of God more than he even loved his own father. And that's just incredible. And I love that. I think about Mark. There he was. He had that precious cousin, Barnabas. And such encouragement in the word of God and how Barnabas cared for Mark and all the different things. But Mark even departed from Barnabas, who had defended him and all of these different things, to return to Paul's gospel. I want you to think about these things. See, these men, they wanted God's best. They didn't want their way. They didn't want their choice, brothers and sisters. They didn't want even their family. They wanted to win. They just wanted to win. And I think about that how many of God's precious people were right there at God's best. They were right there. They were right there at the best, and yet they missed it. They missed it. They were right there. It's on my heart often thinking about those Jews that left Egypt. And there they were. They'd heard for years. They knew of Canaan. They knew of the promise. They heard it over and over. But yet they missed it. They wouldn't go into the promise. They heard about it. They knew about it. They saw the miracles that put them there. They were right there. They could look over into it. They could see all of that. But you know what? They had excuses. They had excuses of why I'm not going to take it. Why I'm not going in there. Oh, I know it's great. I know it's amazing. I know it's so wonderful. I know God divinely gave that to us. That is our promise. We've rejoiced in it many times. We're all together and we're all thanking God. And the millions of us that just walked out of here, and only two entered in. Think about that. We have the example of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. Yes, we do. And there were the daughters of Jerusalem. They were her friends. They rejoiced, they had fellowship, they had really good times, they wouldn't be encouraged. They knew of the bridegroom together. They knew of him. They knew his love, they knew how wonderful he was, they knew how incredible all of the different things that were there for them. But yet, even though the daughters of Jerusalem had all that witness, all they could say finally to the Shulamite, because they never really got it, oh, there's other loves. Huh? Oh, there's other messages. Oh, and I'll say it like this. Oh, there's other churches. And I'm not talking about Living Waters. No, to me, there's only one I'm living for right now, and that's the Church of Philadelphia. That's the truth. I'm not waiting to go by the subway. As Brother Hill said, I'm waiting for the highway. And that's the truth. And then you think, there in the presence of Martha and the disciples, there they were. They were in the presence of the true worshiper who worshiped in spirit and truth. They were there in the presence of this one that adored the Lord. They were there in the presence of what was giving ecstasy to the Lamb of God. There was Mary at his feet, worshiping, praying, loving. And all they could be was critical. All they could be was insulting. All they could be was say, well, that doesn't look the way that I think it should. That's not the one that I should be there. They were right there looking at the better part. And I'm right here and I'm looking at the better part. So, but yet, are we looking at the better part with the eyes of Martha and the eyes of those disciples and saying, well, I've got excuses. I'm not taking that. Yeah. Well, so what is the evidence in us? What's the evidence? Is it the evidence of I will go? Is it truly that first love is broken, has broke me from everything in my life? Huh? Or am I of those that maybe, they said, oh, just like the Shulamite with the daughters of Jerusalem, just like those that said, oh, they said I will go, but did they ever leave? You see? There's motions that we can just be going through, saints. Jesus is coming for his bride. He's coming. And this isn't to make you feel bad. This isn't to make you feel bad. This is to make you glad. This woman, within a span of, I don't know, an hour, I'm getting on the camel. I'm out of here. Oh, you can say it was even 24 hours. I get it. This isn't a cerebral test. This is a heart test. And it's not your heart. It's do you believe in his heart? It's as simple as it is. Do I have the faith to believe in his heart? Because the problem is if you're still trying to believe in your heart, you'll never get there. You'll never, ever get there. It's his heart. It's his desire. It's his faithfulness. It's his passion. It's his love. And here's the truth, praise God. You can't get there, but he already took you there. That's the whole point. He brought you. He brought you. He brought you there. That's the truth. And that's why I can look out here today and I do rejoice. I thank the Lord and I'm grateful to God. I commend you, saints, for the grace of God that's with you. The grace of God that's with you. What happens is love overcomes. And that first love, it's broken us away. It is. We're done. It's broken us away. And now what remains is fellowship and its joy in this bridal, wonderful abiding. Just till he come. Just till he come. Just till he come. You'll never get there, but he's already taken you there. Let's pray.
My beloved, let nothing hinder you from coming unto me. For the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Fight! Fight to win me! Let nothing hold you back! Fight the good fight of faith! Yes, sir.
Jesus' name, we just thank you. Lord, thank you how you confirm and reaffirm and reassure. I'm in love with you. I am in love with you. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, just have us to look into the eyes of the Lamb, that beautiful, loving Lamb that has loved us with everything. The way has been made. Oh, let us just by faith walk in it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.